Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, headlines. Iran and America close to war. Earthquake in Utah. Swarms of locusts from Africa to the Middle East. Virus spreading on a global level at a pandemic pace. What else can we have on the news top of the hour today than that kind of news? Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, very clearly, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to put it in the young blood vernacular, says that we're not to be frightful or fearful. We're to simply trust God and depend on God. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Is it me you're talking about?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Jim. Just wanted to share something from experience with you. I really appreciate your program. I try to listen to it every day. When I was in school, I caught a viral infection. It was highly infectious. It put me at home for about 5 days before I got over it. It was common in my day and era, probably in years. And over 700,000 people a year caught it. Tens of thousands died in the United States. 2, 3, 4, 5 million died across the world. And we didn't go into complete panic mode. It was called measles, which is a virus akin to this current virus. I've never seen anything like it in my 75 years, and I am not in the least bit panicked. I know who controls everything, and I'm looking up. And I'm telling you, there is no immunization for any flu virus that is more effective than 60 to 70%. And the only way they can get it is put an inert virus in your body and hope you can build it. And I am totally angry about what's happening in my country right now.
Brother, I am thankful for your insight and your call, and you're exactly right. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to understand that though this is a harmful, dangerous virus, and though we do not know the ground root cause, in fact, there's an article that is very, very clear that I read a moment ago. It said six things that we still don't know about the coronavirus pandemic. What is the true mortality rate? We do not know. How contagious is the virus? We do not really know. All that CDC is doing is setting out the hypotheticals. We do not know why do some suffer only mild symptoms. We don't know the answer. Who is the ground zero patient? We still don't know who the first patient was that contracted the virus, according to the Ingram Hour report. Number five, can we trust Chinese government to provide accurate data? And the answer to that question is absolutely unequivocally no. The sixth thing that we don't know, what is China's relationship with the World Health Organization? I did not know until reading this article, ladies and gentlemen, that the World Health Organization is co-founded by China. China funds the majority of the funds for the World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization must be in line with what China wants them to say, or they shut off the funding. This article says there's a lot that we do not know and a lot of information coming from China that we cannot frankly trust at any stretch of the imagination, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, our previous caller was very, very right. We need to recognize that the measles is far more contagious and has a greater deadly effect than we're talking about with the coronavirus. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things that we do know and how we should respond. We do know, and we need to respond to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, the federal, state, and local governments have mandated closings of all venues. Let me restate that. Of all venues, 50 or more, and including the bars, the lounges, the restaurants, the theaters. By the way, they can close the bars and the lounges. It's not going to bother me at all. I don't know why we can't just leave that in place even after the panic is over. But the bars, the lounges, the restaurants, the theaters, the convention centers, the sports events, the political events, even churches and weddings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here's an article, and I read a portion of it a moment ago. It's by Matthew Staver, Matt Staver, Liberty Council. How do you get freedom loving people to accept tyranny? ? You scare them into begging for it. With God's help and working with the concerned patriots like you, we won't let this happen in America. He goes further. This article is very, very thin as far as the amount of article, but it is very, very powerful in what Matthew Staver says. Listen carefully. Liberty Counsel Matthew Staver, I'm quoting, "This coronavirus scare is just the sort of situation in which tyrannical-minded local, state, and federal officials will try to subvert our freedom. Let me first be very clear in saying that I do not believe that President Trump has any intention of taking advantage of this crisis by undermining America's civil liberties. However, I think we all know what a radical progressive administration would do if such were in power. Sadly, each and every day of the panic as the panic unfolds, some governmental officials at local and state levels are robbing Americans of our most basic freedoms, including, listen to this, including our freedom to worship. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment is being contravened as we speak. I don't care if there's 50 or 5,000. I don't believe the federal government, the state government, the local authorities, the state authorities, the federal authorities on any level, unless there is a declared martial law, has the authority to sequester and say that a church and a people cannot worship. Now, you might say that man's radical. Call it if you want. But it's my opinion, just as with Matt Staver, that we're watching Americans' most basic freedom, including freedom of worship, being contravened by this panic and hysteria coming out of Washington and out of Tallahassee and out of the Marble Castle downtown in Jacksonville, Florida. Some examples of that, ladies and gentlemen, Champaign, Illinois, the mayor, Deborah Frank, last week signed an executive order mandating the breathtakingly unprecedented measure, including banning of public assembly, banning the sale and purchase of all guns, all ammunition, and then forcibly taking control of the title of personal property if she desires to do so in this pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further says New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling on the president to federalize decision-making over whether public assembly of any kind will be allowed. Listen, Cuomo is asking the president to federalize. That means putting the federal government in charge. And what he is saying is to institute martial law that will cause people to be sequestered in their homes, in their businesses, with armed guards at the door to make sure that you don't leave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a negative person. I am a realist. But I do believe before we see the apex of this pandemic that we will see that very thing take place in America. And I don't say that to frighten you, but I'm saying it, ladies and gentlemen, because as Christians, we need to look beyond it, look above it, and understand that God's still on the throne and he's still in control. This article says that Cuomo also asked the president to call up the U.S. military to handle our domestic response and engage governmental edicts to do so. What is he saying? He's saying, Mr. President, I want you to federalize this program, this problem. I want you to declare martial law. I want you to allow the military to come in and to police our streets with armament and to make sure that the people obey and to make sure the people bend and bow and say, yes, sir, and lick the boots of the federal and state governments. Now, you might say that's a profound statement. It meant to be. It was meant to be. Then you see the New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is calling on the president to nationalize businesses, mandating the rationing of their goods and services. Hear that? De Blasio is saying that the president needs to nationalize. That means the federal government take control of your personal business, take control of restaurants and manufacturing and shopping centers and developments and other businesses that need to continue to be run, but to be run by the government. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God help us if that happens. If that happens, how long would it last? If that happens, are we setting the stage today for socialization, for socialism, and ultimately communism to take control in America? I would have, if somebody had asked me a month ago, 6 months ago, is it possible for the federal government just to say to churches, close your doors, and churches would bow and bend and lock the doors and go home, I would have said it would have been impossible, but we're watching it take place under the guise that we have a pandemic that people cannot even worship, that the government has the authority to foreclose your religious liberties and freedom of worship. I'm passionate about that, if you can't tell by the sound of my voice. Yes, we're in a state of hysteria. We're in a condition of panic. We're watching people rush to the grocery stores, and as soon as the truck's unloaded and the people in the grocery store puts it on the shelf, it disappears off the shelf, just as though it's the end of the world. But let me touch on that, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the end of the world, but we're seeing the foreshadowing, the glimpse of what God is going to do after the rapture of the church. The mayor of New Orleans just banned all gun sales, all ammunition sales, and the transportation and the distribution of any weapons by fiat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to do that legally. Any mayor, any governor that does that without there being a declaration of martial law, it is an illegal act, an illegal act. And I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians need to be aware of what we see taking place. There's an attempt with this panic, with this coronavirus, there's an attempt to take a stranglehold of our government and to control the present and the future tense of the destiny and direction of our nation at the risk of faith and family and the future of America. This article continues to read. You probably read that Nancy Pelosi tried to bring a coronavirus funding bill to the House floor for a unanimous vote when no members of the House were there to vote who had read it to vote on it. What's worse, Speaker Pelosi openly admitted that the members would be authorizing the implementation, would be authorizing the implementation of laws that had not even been written yet. In other words, she called for the vote with a blank check. Given that Pelosi already tried to slip abortion into the funding in a previous bill, these actions run against the very grain of our constitutional republic. This is Matthew Staver, Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. History is replete with examples of just how quickly so-called soft tyranny can turn to hard tyranny and the complete destruction of citizens' rights under the Bill of Rights. It can happen in the blink of an eye. This article then says Americans must be hyper-vigilant now, right now, if we hope to retain our God-given constitutional codified liberties that God has given us, end quote. I don't know if that frightens you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not meant to frighten you. It's meant to get your attention. It's meant for us to understand that we don't just go around blindly and say, yes, sir, and bow and bend every time a politician breathes. And yet we see that taking place. This article here, another article says, San Francisco area counties order residents to stay at home. Six counties in this San Francisco Bay Area announced Monday a shelter-in-place order for all residents in response to the coronavirus pandemic. It's the strictest measure of its kind any place in America, directing everyone to stay in their homes and away from others as much as possible until April the 7th. The area has a combined population of more than 6.7 million. It calls for the sheriff, this order calls for the sheriff and the chief of police to ensure every resident complies with the order. But it wasn't clear exactly how that order was going to be enforced, even if the sheriff and the police officers are there to enforce it. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Yes, good morning. As you approach the end of the show, I just wanted to kind of leave it with a different thought, and I would like to address those who are listening to you this morning who know that they are blood-bought and saved believers. And this is going to be odd, but I'll stand by it if somebody wants to discuss it. Quite frankly, the proper response right now is nothing that we're showing collectively. The proper response to the circumstances today is thankfulness to God.
Yes.
Thankfulness. First of all, when Pompeii was destroyed by Vesuvius, it happened suddenly. We think what's happening is happening subtly, but really we're kind of easing into a very bad situation. So human beings are being allowed the grace to adjust what may be, for most people, because they trust in riches, a difficult situation. But Christians need to be thankful that if they have followed the Word of God and they've understood passages like Proverbs 30, 7 through 9, that says, don't give me sufficiency in life. Don't give me poverty of riches. People who have focused on the Word of God, who have lived a simple lifestyle, but have been trusted in the great Creator and Father in heaven, there is nothing to worry about. We can be thankful because right now we can see clearly good and evil. In the past, it's been rather nuanced in our culture. Now we can see good and evil. Thank you, Father God, that you are underscoring right and wrong and reinforcing in the heart of Christians the right choices that we need to make. Secondly, you are allowing us to see that, as you told David in the 91st Psalm, only with your eyes you behold and see the reward of the wicked. So, Father, thank you that I know that whatever happens here, you're up to something. And it's going to work out just fine for Christians. If it turned out to be the worst thing in the world, we'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
And then, if other things take place, if God restores this government, we will come out of the events today as everyone else, every other culture has, when they've gone through a really bad event, with a stronger moral base and an understanding that God's way works, man's way doesn't. To trust in riches, fleeting riches, is foolish. Thank you, Father God, that we have the certainty that things are going to be just fine with those that belong to you. Not so with those maybe that are outside the faith, but for those that belong to him. And one final point. In 9/11, when some really bad and unexpected things happened, people flocked to churches. And we saw that possibly as a sign of God's judgment in many ways. But over the years, we once again went back to our old ways. And the shenanigans of the Democrat Party indicate just how evil our culture is. We have empowered people who are absolute rebels against Father God. He gave us a president to give us a brief respite. But isn't it odd right now that as one of the most frightening things that's ever happened in this country right now has created a circumstance where most people no longer have churches to run to because they're closed. Only that little tiny remnant that understands God's principles, that look to him for their deliverance, are happy and content and can gather in little groups like we did last Sunday with no intention of stopping, and realize that thankfulness to God is what we need to be showing right now. End of commentary, and thank you for the time to say it.
Thank you so much for those words of advice and wisdom. That is exactly right. In fact, my mind goes to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. They be anxious, that word be careful for nothing, that word means not to be anxious. The mandate in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, for the Christian, for the child of God, we're not to worry, not to be anxious, not to be overly concerned or wrought up or in hysteria with our hair on fire about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we're to come to God and make our requests known. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading an article that said, second wave of locust hit one-third of the world's nations, warning signs, swarm of as much as 35,000 a day, in which 35,000 people can eat, with billions of locusts stripping hundreds of thousands of square miles of African cropland. And a few weeks ago, there were warnings it might get worse. A swarm of only 1 square kilometer will eat as much as 35,000 people can eat in one day. And it goes on and on. This further article says, many thousands of people are already in the grips of the food shortage due to their drought and the flooding in the last 12 months before the crop destruction caused by the first wave of the vast swarms and the desert locust in East Africa and Pakistan earlier this year. And this time around, it could be more, 400 times worse. The United Nations estimates 20 million are facing the threat of severe insecurity because of famine in the land. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing famine, and the Bible tells us that there'll be wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that unfold. God's word in Matthew chapter 24 is very, very clear as to what to expect and what shall take place. It says that we shall hear of the wars and the rumors of wars, and that be ye not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, that's diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are only the beginnings of sorrows. I'm saying that, ladies and gentlemen, to let you understand what we see taking place should not take us by surprise as Christians. We need to be praising God that his word is real and vibrant and absolutely fresh off the press every day. As the media talks about these events, it's simply recapping what God has already told us. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good, bless the Lord. Praise God for you, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I'm in full agreement with all that you're saying. The psalmist says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? God is on the throne, and praise God. As you say, this is time to praise the Lord and to worship Him and glorify Him. Not time to panic about. God is in charge, and He makes no mistake. He knows what He is doing. Whatever He allows in His wisdom, praise God. One thing we know is that the enemies of God cannot win. They have been defeated, and they will be. So whatever is behind all of this, whether it's because the hatred of our president has been such from day one, and it continues. And if there's an effort behind it to bring him down, God is able, God turn their schemes into, turn it against them. So we know that the enemies of God cannot win. God is on the throne. And we prayed, and God intervened, and we are praying still. We know that God will have his way, and he will not allow the enemies to glory over him.
Absolutely, and I am so thankful for your input on that, because you're exactly right. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, just as our caller said, we need to depend on God, recognize that there are enemies out there that wants to tear down and destroy. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the first thing we need to do is call upon the Lord by faith and not fear. We're to trust in God, every one of us, each and every breath. We're to understand that our breath, our every heartbeat comes from God. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. It is a blessing, and I believe a challenge to everyone that listens today to understand. In fact, when we look at the book of Nehemiah, where they were trying to rebuild the wall, they had the enemies that were castigating them and trying to frighten and fear, make them fear. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord." And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we ought to do today. Here's an article that says 5.7 mega magnitude earthquake strikes near Salt Lake City, knocking out Utah's coronavirus hotline. The quake was reported about 7 a.m. local time. A 5.7 magnitude earthquake struck just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah, early Wednesday, knocking out their state's coronavirus hotline, according to the governor. It lasted about 15 to 20 seconds, shaking up pretty well, shaking us pretty hard, they said. "Then I felt swaying for about 15 seconds," Williams added. "We're all supposed to be social distancing, and now we find ourselves needing to gather around each other to help each other," end quote. ESPN reported, shaken out of the sound sleep by the quake. "We're all safe," she reported. "Please pray for no other aftershocks. Please pray for all of us." And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we ought to do, in the recognition and the realization that we can't control these things. God can. God's still on the throne. God's still in control. Even today, President Trump announces that the U.S.-Canadian border is closed. The Canadians closed their northern border. And yet we hear, as we see borders being closed around the globe, every nation, every place on the globe is closing its own borders to protect its own people. You don't see Nancy Pelosi and AOC and the Islamic jihadist Omar Tlaib and Rashid Tlaib and Omar, what's her name, the other Islamic jihadist in Washington. You don't see them complaining about or questioning about the borders being closed. Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are not saying anything about the borders being closed. And here's Canada closing its own borders for its safety. It says, President Trump on Wednesday announced the U.S. and Canada are temporarily closing their shared borders to non-essential traffic as part of the effort to tackle the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, we will, by mutual consent, temporarily close our northern border with Canada to non-essential traffic," President Trump tweeted. "Trade will not be affected." He goes on to talk about the number of cases in Canada. I believe Canada has recorded now 598 cases of the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting us to understand is that we see today Iran and America close to war, earthquake in Utah, swarms of locusts all across the Middle East and Africa, the virus spreading like wildfire, as someone would use the term. Here's an article that says, hailstones the size of grapefruits batter countries across Europe. Hailstones as big as grapefruits hammered several countries across Europe, causing chaos and damaging thousands of homes and buildings. The fierce hailstorms has battered parts of Slavonia, Croatia, Germany since Monday, as strong gale force winds brought cold temperatures along with intense rainfall, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing the hand of God at work. I believe God is saying, look up. Look at me. Understand I'm in control, not government. Look at me. Understand that I'm the one that can make a difference and not you and not others. So there's several things we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians. We need to understand there's several definitive, important imperatives for the Christian to do inside of and in face of what we're seeing. First of all, we need to call upon the Lord, and we need to live by faith and not fear. We're to trust in God for each and every breath and every heartbeat that we have. God is fully aware of all that we're faced with the hailstorms. He's fully aware of the earthquakes and the things that's being brought about today. He's fully aware of each and every one of our needs in the midst of this coronavirus. God wants us to take our hands off of it and allow him to do it. God wants us to take all of our needs to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, knowing that he knows our hearts and our needs. We need, ladies and gentlemen, also to believe. Every believer should view this as what is taking place, this calamity as we call it, as some call it. We need to see this calamity as an attack upon our faith and family and future, and stand tall and not bow and not bend. It is very, very clear in the book of Ephesians, ladies and gentlemen, in the 6th chapter, the 13th verse and following. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing we need to have as our armament is truth. Jesus says, thy word is truth. That's the word of God. Jesus says, I am truth. We need to turn to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that Christ is our only hope, our only answer in the world in which we're living in. We should keep on keeping on as we serve the Lord. We should not be afraid. We should be alert and watchful. Going back to the book of Nehemiah, as they continue to work, they work with the trowel and the mortar in one hand. They work with the sword in the other hand. They were working, but they were watchful. They were alert, and they were aware. We should pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us. We must turn back to God, indicating our need for him. In fact, let me share this with you in 2 Chronicles 7 and 13 and 14. The Bible says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilences, that's diseases, among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an absolute promise from God. If we turn our wicked ways, if we ask him to forgive us our sin, he will heal our land, and our land needs healing. The earthquakes and the natural disasters that all proceed from God, they're evidences that God is still in control, God is still on the throne, and God is saying, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.